our midweek service, and hope you've had a good half week, and hope you have a good other half week. But just continue to remember those that are sick with the virus and those that are sick otherwise. Also, several on our prayer list and several have lost loved ones. But we're going to begin tonight by singing Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, number 379, if you have a book available for those in the church.
They've been sprayed.
And they've been sprayed.
Every one of them has been sprayed.
Not by a skunk either.
Whatever's needed to be done to them. I sprayed the altar today. I sprayed the whole stage today.
379.
We got a mister now. We got one of the vloggers.
Assist our pianist. Are you down, sister?
Yes.
All righty. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you tonight. I'm so thankful that you've been able to come out and to be with us. It's been a beautiful day today. I pray that you've been able to enjoy it. Also, those of you that are with us tonight on Facebook or maybe out in the parking lot, it's good to have you as well. Thank you for letting us be a part of your worship time and your worship experience. We do pray that you share our Facebook. We're fixing to try to move a little bit further on into the digital and electric and cloud and all that. We're going to try to do some more things like that. We're going to see about getting an app on a phone where you can just tap on it and go to a daily devotional, different things like that. But we're learning. We're behind the curve a little bit. So just be praying for us as we try to do that. As you know, there's been a spike in the COVID in our region right now. And tonight at 6:30 up at Lee Nursing Home and Rehab, they're having a prayer group out there. Brother Tim Bonador, as you know him, he's helping to lead it. And so I want us to kind of structure our service tonight, if we can, that at 6:30 we will be at least moving into a time of prayer. So if it's all right with y'all, let's just go ahead and jump into the lesson, and then we'll I'll go through it as fast as I can, okay? And then we'll see what we can do about kind of being at one heart and one spirit. I've even asked the deacons I sent them a specific prayer, and I'll read it to you if I can find my phone when we have time. But wherever they're at, like Brother Frank's up in Pennsylvania, I think Brother Keith may be with his mother, you know, but wherever they're at, we're all going to be praying in unity specifically at this time. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Now, if you remember, on the last Sunday, and you probably don't, but on the last Sunday of September, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 5, it was September the 27th, in a night lesson, I began a little series called Proper Thinking. It's almost like, what does the Bible say about it? But we're just not going to, we'll jump to it from time to time. And in this series or whatever you would want to call it, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 5, we'll be beginning in verse 11. In it, I would like for us to look at what we would call normal thoughts, normal feelings, acceptable emotions within and actions within our society. But at the same time, these acceptable thoughts, feelings, and emotions for a Christian, they are completely opposite to what the mind that we're supposed to have. I mean, just think about death. In our culture right now, death, basically, especially in America, what's the worst thing that can really happen is for somebody to die. I mean, life's over, you know, it's so tragic. But when you look at Scripture, the Bible teaches us that as a Christian, it's far from that. Remember, we looked at, from Genesis to Revelation, the tree of life in the book of Genesis, and how before they were able to eat of the tree of life, after they had eaten after the forbidden tree, then God said, let's get them out of there before they can eat of the tree of life. But then when we get into Revelation, where we're no longer in a garden, but we're in that city, we see the tree of life coming back where it produces 12 different types of fruits and 12 different types of months. But the symbolism is that there is the eternal life there. And listen, conclusion is this. People look at death in a bad light. But as a Christian, it's actually a blessing to us into our best and most blessed life that we'll ever have. And that life will be eternal. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Brothers, I tell you this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Conclusion. Even though when we lose a Christian and we face death as a Christian ourselves, while the fear of the unknown may be there, and even for our loved ones, and we miss, because when we lose a loved one, we have to face it, or a friend, we enter into a different reality. It is no longer what it was before that individual passed away. And so as we learn to live in a new reality, we can look at it and we can look at death with no fear, with no dread, even though our physical being dreads it at times. It tries to bring fear to you. When we lose our loved ones, we naturally lose, and we have to make that choice. Am I going to celebrate the time that God gave me, or am I going to complain about the time I feel that He gypped me out of? You know, you have to look at that. But as Christians, see, but we naturally understand why people mourn and all that. But we see we've got to get our thinking proper. You understand what I'm saying? That there's some things that we receive and take just as natural and human. When we look at Scripture, that's where the nitty-gritty kind of begins, you know. So tonight I want to talk about, let's read here in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. I want to talk about proper thinking, the meat and the milk. Proper thinking, the meat and the milk. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 out of the Christian Standard. We have a great deal to say about this. And what he's talking about is Melchizedek. This is the writer of Hebrews. He's saying there's a lot I want to talk to you about the Melchizedek and the priest before there was an actual priesthood. And he says, but it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. The King James says the first principle, or the primary, or the basic building blocks. You need somebody to go back and go over the building blocks. Just like we have Duffield Primary, that's the first place we want them to go and get the reading, writing, and arithmetic, all that established there. There's some things he's saying, hey, we've got to go back to the beginning here with you. I can't go into the deeper stuff. I can't go back into the old covenant, because there in verse 12, You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. Again, you need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced because they are infants. But solid food is for the mature. For those whose senses, meaning their hearing, seeing, acting, feeling, all that, have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. Now, you see what he's saying there? He says it don't happen overnight. God doesn't unscrew your head and just fix everything and then you're a perfect Christian the next day. No, it's a process. And we have to train ourselves. And notice what he says. Even our senses, the way we feel, the way we hear, the way we respond, all those things, we have to train ourselves to act like Christ. See, that's where that it just comes naturally. Y'all remember that song, "Woo, the boy can't help it." See, or the girl can't help it. Y'all remember that one kind of song? Anyway, let's don't run that rabbit. I'll be in trouble. But as we look here, so Brother Danny, as I was thinking about, Brother Danny Harvey came up to me Sunday morning and he said, "Man, I just want you to preach about that milk, 1 Corinthians, and preach about that milk and how we're supposed to mature." And so today and yesterday, as I was thinking, I got to thinking about the milk and the meat. So what I did was I looked it up. Basically, he was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, where it says this, "For my part, brothers and sisters, I was unable to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh," or people of the natural mind, but just thinking natural. You weren't thinking spiritual, you were thinking natural. "As babes in Christ Jesus, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready for it." So that's what he was talking about. So what I did was I just went to my computer, and I love my Logos program. If you're looking into a Bible program, it's a little pricey. But Logos is amazing, okay? I mean, just come and let me show it to you one day, and you'll love it. But I looked it up, and basically you see the milk and the meat mentioned three times in the New Testament. The first time is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 that I just read to you, where he says, "You wasn't ready. I couldn't talk to you when I first came, and I still can't talk to you." Well, he's talking about the meat, or he's talking about the milk there, a divided church, a sinful and selfish church. And then there's the Hebrews one, where the writer, probably Paul, might have been Luke, could have been somebody else, but we take it by faith that it's in the canon, that God wanted it there. But he's talking to a group of basic Hebrews there. And he's wanting to talk to them, and he wants them to get a clear picture of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. And so he was going to go all the way back to Melchizedek. But he says, "Listen, you're still on the milk. You can't receive this. The basic principles." And then there's one more over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says this, "Therefore, rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word, so that you may grow into your salvation, if you had tasted and seen that the Lord is good." Now, so we see that there's, and here's something that's neat to me. Now, we know that it's the reference between milk and meat, but nowhere did I really read the word meat. It was just solid foods. But there's the reference to it. You've got the milk, and then you've got the solid foods. So what is milk? Well, if you look right there in verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, the latter part of it, we're clearly told by the writer what the milk is. You need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk. And again, we talk about the first principles of salvation. What are the first principles? Number one, salvation in no other name except Christ Jesus. That is the most basic truth. And then there is by faith and grace, not by works. We stand on that. That is basic. We stand on water baptism. These are the bare principles of these. But he's saying, "Listen, I can't go on to you anymore. I can't go ahead of you because, see, you're still on those babies. You've not yet grabbed a hold." So milk would be the mature understanding of God's Scripture, milk would be the immature understanding of God's Scripture and, let's just be real, a shallow relationship with Christ, right? And not meaning anything mean by that, but you've not been in there long enough to have a deep relationship with Him yet. All you know is the salvation. But if there is the milk, the immature and shallow relationship, then what is there? There's the opposite. What did he say? One of Newton's principles, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. What do we have? We have the shallow, the watered down, the easy to receive. Then what do we have? We have the meat, the solid food. What would that mean? That would be a more mature understanding of Scripture, of what it means to have a relationship with Christ Jesus and to live for Christ Jesus, but it would also mean a deep relationship with Him. Why? Because you have moved. You've grown. It's no longer just that small, shallow thing, but now it's deeper and wider than it was. But see, notice what it says. It says, the problem is, though, a lot of people see salvation as the ending point. We get saved and that's it. I'm done. I'm good. But the Bible is clearly teaching us that there needs to be a growth within our relationship. And you know what? It's been hard these past few months because you've not had the team with you. You know, you understand what I'm saying? And this is where I think comes into, and you've heard me say this before. Man, I'm going to have to stop that gummit. I'm going to have to stop. But I'm talking about biblical illiteracy. People reading their word, allowing the Holy Spirit that lives within them to provide them with understanding on what biblical truth is. You take that truth and you live it out in your life, and as you go day by day, you grow in your relationship with Christ as you see how He is being glorified, but also as you face those hard times, just sticking with His word, and He carries you. Every step, His hand is there for you to go to the next one. See, we've got to read those things. But the problem is, even sincere believers, not just those name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, get out of hell free type folks, but even those of us, especially in this season, it's easy for us to let the obstacles become bigger than the goal. And that is a closer walk with Jesus every day. What does that mean? That means we've got to read the Word. We've got to spend time with Him. We have got to grow in our... We've got to train our senses to recognize the difference between good and evil. In both of those situations, in Hebrews and in 1 Corinthians, what's he saying? He said, I got some more I want to teach you, but you're not ready yet. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians, it's even harsher than that. He says, no, are you not ready for it? You should be teaching people, and now you need somebody else to come and teach you the basics again. But what is he talking about that we've got to live it out? You know what I mean? We've got to grow in our mature relationship with Him. You see, as we see in 1 Peter, look what he says in 1 Peter, and we're going to wrap it up here. In 1 Peter, what we see here is this. Oh, I'm going all right. I ain't that blind. Oh, good deal. All right. Huh? Okay. If you look over there in 1 Peter, I want you to notice this. And see, this is when I want you to think about that Sunday that I preached on expressing Christ's love. You remember that? That we looked over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we looked at the traits or the characteristics of love. You remember? Now, what we do is we think, a lot of people, they think if you get saved and you're not an adulterer or a drug addict or anything like that, you're just a good moral person, well, then that's what being a Christian is, right? But listen what he says here in 1 Peter. And remember, Peter's describing he's talking about the milk here. He's saying this should be a part of the milk part, okay? He says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Peter. No, is it chapter 2? Hold on. Is it chapter 2? Okay. Chapter 2. Let me just turn to it in my Bible, okay? 1 Peter, somebody got it? Read it for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I believe.
Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow therein.
in your salvation. I'm going to finish it up because it was the three. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Now, I want you to look. Now, look at the things that he's saying that we are to lay aside. Brother Otis read them there in the first verse. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Malice there is simply evil. Now, that would be the type of things we talked about, adultery, addiction, you know, things like that. Yes, we need to lay those things aside. All that's wickedness. But now let's go on. Let's see what he says. He says, lay aside all, but then he says deceit. The word deceit there means trickery. Now, who in there, we all, it's natural in this world today to put who first? Me first. And so I'm going to do whatever trick I got to do to get me first. We don't think about that though, do we? Why? Because it just comes natural. But the natural man, Jesus put himself second. That's who we're to be. My son, I'll just be honest with you. My son took my money, bought some apples, and cooked an apple pie. And it was a cheap apple pie. And he took it to the youth house tonight. And I had to say, well, it's blessed to give than receive. But you know what? I want some of that pie. It's just natural. It ought to be mine, right? But see, that's just a part. Look, he goes on to say, he says, hypocrisy, wearing that mask. I tell you what, we've got good, and I pray that we at Thomas Village are getting better about it, that we don't try to wear that religious mask like we've got it all together all the time. No, we are human beings. We're not above each other. We're in the same boat together. Jesus is the captain of the ship, and we're doing our best. We falter, we fail, but we help each other back up, and we press on in his name. He says, don't wear that mask. Notice he says, don't envy. Don't be jealous. It's easy to be jealous and not even think about it and pass off an excuse for, well, they're stuck up anyway. You know, it just, why? Because it's natural. We want what other people have. We like their nice things. That's what, remember Eve? She looked on the tree, said it looked good to eat, and it was pretty. Why? She was wanting it. She's jealous. She wanted it. It's just natural. But see, that's our sinfulness. But it's a part that we and society will write off without even thinking about it. Notice, and then he says all slander. The word slander means to defame, but it also means the whispering. And ain't it just natural for us just to talk about things, even things we don't really know nothing about, like we know something about them? We do. I mean, that's just who we are. That comes natural, Brother Paul. But see, again, like with death, as a Christian, we know that's that is our blessing. We know that, but our body lies to us. Our spirit lies to us. Our mind lies to us. Same thing in these natural areas. Death is natural. Right? See, this is where we let the... Remember, think about this. And this is where I'm talking about where it really gets nitty-gritty. Because, see, we quit comparing ourselves to the world. We start comparing ourselves to the Lord. Remember over there in love? Remember we talked about how that was the root of agape or agapeo, the same love that we see in John 3:16? Listen to what he says. These are the characteristics of the love of Jesus Christ. It's patient. It's kind. Doesn't envy. Doesn't boast. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It is not self-keeping, meaning it doesn't promote self. It is not irrational. It does not keep records of wrongs. You see, that, when we can look at these things and we can recognize that, hey, these are where I need to be growing in my life. I need to speak love when I'm in the store. I need to speak love when I'm on the phone. I need to speak love when somebody's in my office. I've got to let, I mean, think about it. Being rude is acceptable, right? I mean, You even accept yourself to be rude sometimes, right? We do. But see, this is where the milk and the meat come out. Praise God. When we get into this, and people, I'll be honest with you, I've talked about this with some of my preacher friends. Sometimes we'll try to go into some deep stuff like the Revelation stuff, and eyes will glaze over. And just be like drool coming out saying, you lost me, I'm going to sleep. But praise God, I wonder where we would be at. If Paul was here today, Could he say that I could speak to you on a deep level? Can we reason among ourselves on a deep, or would we be shallow? I pray. I mean, I know I can always go deeper, and we can always go deeper, but I think we do study. We go verse by verse, and we get in the book, and I think that's what we need to do, and I believe people do it at home as well, because we will never grow until we start putting it in and training our senses. Amen? And so, conclusion, just like death, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to dread death. We don't have to look at it as the worst thing in the world, right? That's the conclusion we came to in our proper thinking on death. Now, so the proper thinking to conclusion tonight on the milk and the meat is this. The milk is a good foundational nourishment on solid truths. But as time goes on, the Christian is to move to meat, or a deeper understanding of Scripture and a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Are we willing to say this? If we are not seeking to grow deeper in our relationship with Him, are we living a life of sin? That's our goal, is to be closer to Him tomorrow morning than we are right now. That's the purpose of life, to know our Creator above all. And then what did He say? Matthew 6:33, seek ye and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. He says, put it all on my account. Amen? But see, again, proper thinking. Just because I feel it, and just because it's normal, don't mean it's acceptable. Right? And we're seeing that grow more and more in our society. I really believe we've been studying, and that'll be the end of our lesson tonight. We've been studying, me and Brother Paul have been studying, listening to Brother Adrian Rogers teaching on Revelation on Tuesday mornings. We watch about an episode, and it is just amazing to me at how awesome he is at his teaching and how deep it is. But anymore, I'm telling you, a rapture could come at any moment, and we could be called home. But I tell you, we have not yet reached where God's pouring out His wrath. Adrian Rogers said this. He said, God's going to give us what we want, and we ain't going to like it when He gives it to us. Then that's what we're seeing right now in America. God's giving us what we wanted, or what the world wanted, and nobody's liking it. Nobody's liking it. All right, any thoughts before we go on to our prayer needs tonight? We do have our whole list of names. Please don't forget the salvation, 189. Praise God, that's less than it was. But also, we do, I was told of a woman that fell and broke her hip over in the edge of Claiborne County, had to go to Jefferson County to find a room and a place where they could hold her to do the surgery because of COVID. And then Lee County Nursing Home and Rehab, they must be sure enough fighting a battle right there. Also, I want you to pray for the Chester Langley Sr. family that I was their pastor over at Cornerstone on Sugar Run. He passed away today. We also want to pray for the family of Arlena Dockery. That is family to Brother K. Jesse, friends with Brother J.C., works on the fire. Her husband worked on the fire and rescue. So we want to pray for them. Also, Sister Sheila, I just saw this. Sister Melissa sent me the email, I guess, a week and a half ago. But Mr. Pippin, we want to pray for Mr. Pippin. Bobby Lee Jesse, Henrietta Roach, Mark Daniels, Bradley Bowen, Robert Baker, Bill Eads, Kyla Steele, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Ashley Beverly Jr., Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Angie Farmer, Tommy and Alma Mullins, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Carol Dishner, Greg Bartlett, Barb Cope, Darlene Porter, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen Scott, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Sister Jeanette Carter, and I believe it was her birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to Sister Jeanette. Linda Jordan, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky. Hello, ladies. Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Merle Edwards, Tom Graham, Betty Gilbreth, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Mark Daniels, Celia and Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Jay and Ruby Kick, Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Lottie Johnson, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBonc, Quentin Dunlap, John and Carmine Shoup, and our fire and rescue, many unspoken. And then, what, 2 weeks? How long till we vote? Dun-dun. Y'all hear Jaws? Dun-dun. Y'all hear the theme? Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Our God's got this, ain't he?
Amen. He's in control.
And we don't have to fear. Anyone else tonight? Krista Bowen. I also pray for Brother Adam Sweeney. He's going to be preaching here Sunday morning. Brother Wayne's going to be toting the load Sunday night on Facebook Live. And then Brother Otis has got Wednesday night. So I'll be traveling down to Georgia, Pastor Appreciation. And if my people are listening, and yes, I'm going to be with my people. So Ann Gray, John Gray, Kay Phillips, Jeff Phillips, I want to see y'all. Steve Gunner, Robbie Gunner, all y'all, Mount Calvary. It's a shout out to them. But also, Brother Otis is going to be traveling as well. We want to pray for him. Anything else? Yes, Sister Melissa? How's he doing? He's forging his way out west, isn't he? Is he? Amen. Amen. He's learning to use his wings. I mean, he's learning to. He's out the nest now. I mean, that's yeah. He's out of the nest right now. That's all you can say. Anyone else?
Michaela Watkins.
Michaela Watkins. Tim Mullins. Anyone else? Well,
who was it? Brother Scott was telling me, and Brother Ken Flannery was telling me, Larry Collier and their family has got it. Sister Sharon, yes, they've got it from what I've been told. So I tell you.
I'm going to ask Brother Otis if he would to come up here and him to lead us in our regular prayer time and with these names. And as he's coming, I want to start us out in a season of prayer. And specifically, this is what I asked our deacons to pray at 6:30 tonight. Dear Lord, remove this sickness from Lee Nursing Home, from Scott County, from Virginia, and from the United States of America. Do it for your glory, to confound and to convince unbelievers. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do it to convince unbelievers. I mean, it would be awesome. I don't want anybody to be sick. I don't want to die. But remember, why do we pray these things? So His glory can be revealed. And that the lost may know Him. And so right now, with our brothers and sisters that are deacons and their families, as Brother Otis comes, when I'm done, he'll lead us in our regular prayer of our sick, and then also that'll be our closing prayer as well. But also with those that are at Lee
regional rehab and nursing now. I know that Indian Path and Holston Valley is slap full. There's others. God, in Jesus' name, we come before you and we confess, God, this disease, this sickness, whatever it is, Lord, it's out there, it's real, and Lord, it's doing what it does. But God, we just come to you right now, and Lord, we don't want to see any more sick. We don't want to see any more deaths. Lord, we're tired of the mental strain. But God, we pray tonight for Lee Nursing and Rehab.
Yes, Jesus.
For
yes, Lord. Jesus.
Indian Path.
Mm-hmm.
For Holston mm-hmm. Valley. For Pines, Lonesome Pines. Lord, all those. We just pray right now an extra power of the Holy Spirit and peace fall on there and lead the doctors and nurses. God, just give them strength and rest and peace. But God, we pray that you will remove this pandemic, remove this COVID, remove this little
yes.
beast.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
From yes. Lee, Scott, Wines, all of this into Virginia, we ask you to move it from the state of Virginia and then, Lord, move it from the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And do it so
yes.
that to compound and convince the unbelievers. Lord, you said you will take the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
maybe the cure might be found and it just be an aspirin or something simple, Lord. Whatever way you choose to do it, but we're believing tonight you're gonna bring healing through this, and we're gonna make it through this season better than we were when we started. In Jesus' mm-hmm. name, Brother Otis. Yes.
Father God, we just come as your body, Thomas Village Church. We're a lot of members, but we're one body. And we just pray, Lord, for our members, our body, that you give us security in our homes. Lord, teach us and show us how the new normal is going to be. We're convinced, Lord, it's going to be different. But it was different in our Lord's time. When he came and went to the cross, he fought the government.
Mm-hmm.
He fought the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the established religions. But he succeeded. He succeeded because you gave him the power. Father, we just ask now that you give us power.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable power. So we can't claim the glory.
Yes, Jesus.
We're hurting as a community. We're hurting as a church. We're hurting as a nation. And Father, we know you have control.
Yes, Jesus.
We're not telling you what to do or how to do it, but we are pleading with you to bring this thing to an end.
Yes.
And only you can. Doctors know, but they only know what you allow them to know.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't figured out yet how the universe works or what causes things to happen. They can reason it, but they don't really know. And you know all things. Your word says that you know all things. You're all-knowing. And you know what's best for us as a church, as families, as a community. And Father, we just ask it. It could be brought out so that you receive glory. When Jesus healed people, he prayed a prayer. And his prayer was that, Father, allow your son to be glorified,
mm-hmm.
that you might be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus did things, he did it for the Father. And that's what we're asking our church members, our Facebook friends, whatever medium they're watching or hearing from, just to trust in the Lord, to rest your cross upon him. And just, Lord, we trust you for it. And we just praise those that are here tonight. We're sorry for those who couldn't be here and some that our health is compromised, that missed church. But, Lord, we know you're going to work it out. And this is not the end. If it is, Lord, then we're ready to go.
Yes, even so,
but if it's not the end, lead us on, just as Moses led the children. for 40 years, he led them through the wilderness, and they complained, and you provided. And several times they were within 7 to 9 miles of their journey, but you didn't allow them to make it. You confounded their thoughts and had Moses to keep leading. And Father, that's what we ask you to do. Keep leading us until we conquer this, or you control this, or you bring it to an end, or Savior returns. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. I love you. Love being here with you. Beginning tomorrow at 6 o'clock, I got a rehearsal. And then from that point on, I got done two.